Where you're at today, where you're at right now, can change your whole week, can change your whole life. So my prayer for you this morning is that you could, so you could just open your ears and open your heart and hear the words of the beautiful songs and of the beautiful people that are up here, and of a pastor that truly cares about your heart, because his words, I know, are truly inspired by God. This morning is a special morning. I think 11 years ago, was it 15? 15 years ago, I remember exactly where I was when 9/11 started. And I remember I was scared. For one, I had just gotten out of the inactive reserve in the Air Force, and I thought, well, I'm going to have to go back. And that fear turned into anger. And that anger lingered for a little while. And I was mad. I was mad that this had happened. Then I realized throughout the day that we serve a God that's already won. That the victory is ours, that we don't have to live in fear. That regardless of what we see on TV, regardless of what people try to take away from us, is that we are victorious. Peace lives in our heart, and we don't have to look outside for it. It's inside. So today, I say never forget. But today, I also say never, ever stop remembering that Jesus has already won that victory. Amen.
Surrender. Hey, Jesus, you are worthy of my praise. You are worthy of my praise, God. In the morning when I rise, I say thank you. And oh, in the evening when I lay down, God, I say thank you, Jesus. Turning back, I've made up my mind. I'm giving all of my life this time. No turning back, I've made up my mind. I'm giving all of my life this time. Your love makes it worth it. Your love makes it worth it.
Surrender it all to you this morning. You know, this week I had a couple of days where I just felt like I failed in doing the things that I know to do. And I'm so thankful that when I fail, that His mercies are so good and His mercies are always so new. And at the end of the day, it's so important to pour our hearts out in thankfulness. And no matter what's happened, but for that to always come back every morning, every evening, for it to always come back. God, I wake up and I praise you. I go to bed and I praise you. And for gratitude to flow. And I'm thankful that I get to be in this house this morning. I'm thankful that every day I have the opportunity to say, God, forever and ever, your praises are going to be on my lips. Forever and ever, I'm going to sing of your love. Forever and ever, I'm going to sing of the time that I failed, but that you, your strength, raised me up. I'm going to forever and ever sing that when I am weak, that I am made strong in you. That I am forever and ever going to sing of his goodness and of his love and of his mercy and his grace and his steadfastness and his goodness. And so this morning, I just pray that you would just open your hearts up and yourselves up to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let my praise, let your praise ever be on my lips to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Thank you, God, for your love, Lord. Thank you for your peace, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your mercies, God, that never cease. For your love that knows no end. You are so gracious. You are so good. Devoted like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old, and your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. And faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, will ever be on my lips.
And all the things were calm. Just a flame. Limits us. We are not limited in you. I'm not stuck. You open our eyes and you open our hearts and you open our minds to your truth and your way. And you lead us and you take us to places we would never be able to go in our own minds, God. We love you so much. Thank you.
How many have experienced that? All of you? Everybody good? Glad you came. Glad you came too. You want this? No, I don't need it. I just need this. I believe every week God has something special to say to us, do for us. I believe today he's got something really special. I don't believe you're here by accident. I believe you're here to hear something that's going to strengthen your life and bring you to a place and a level that you've never been before. And something that's going to help you, not so much for today, but for down the road. How many know that it's down the road that we're being prepared for today? You know, we're not down the road yet. We only have today. And Ralph and I, Dr. Ralph Martin, I've been talking for the last 2 years about this this conversation we've had numerous times is how do you take people from a negative mindset to a positive mindset? How do you take people from I am what people say I am to I am who God says I am? How do we take people to this high self-esteem of seeing themselves as part of God's creation and that he has put inside of us the ability to create ourselves, and we create our world by what we say and how powerful that is? And we've always looked for a word that is, how do you do that without bringing people into arrogancy or pride or their ego get all involved in it? How many has ever had a little battle, a problem with their ego? Their pride gets in the way. Well, I've been rereading a book by Mark Batterson called Soul Print. And he has a chapter in there, and it's called Holy Confidence. Holy Confidence. And the title of this talk this morning is I Am Holy Confident. And when I saw that word confident, it just kind of started stirring in my heart. And I think everybody could define confidence. It means that you're confident in what you're about to do. You really believe you can do what you're about to do, or you believe that you can accomplish what you're about to accomplish. Would everybody say that's a good definition of confidence? Well, I looked it up just to see if there's maybe a little bit more to it. And confidence is faith in oneself and one's powers without any suggestion of conceit or arrogance. Is the quality of being certain. You have the word confidence, and we even out of that you get the word confidant. And so when you have confidence, it means that other people can have confidence in you. That you can have a confidant that you could share your secrets with, or they could share their secrets with you, because they're confident that you are confident enough not to share it. And so, don't you look at these scriptures, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. We are confident that he hears us whenever we ask anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. The first part of those two verses, when it says, if we ask anything that pleases him, that is a kind of a misconstrued way to say that, because what he's really saying there in the Greek is this: it pleases God to hear us. It pleases him to hear you talking with him. So he's pleased to hear you. So if he's pleased to hear you, how do you know he'll be pleased to answer you? And that's why he says, if we believe anything we ask for, we believe we receive it. This is the confidence that we have in him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, so let us come boldly or with confidence to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Now, the reason that scripture is so powerful is because of the scripture that goes before it. And the scripture that goes before it says that we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our weaknesses or infirmities, but we have a high priest who can be touched because he was tempted in all points like we are, yet he was without sin. Therefore, he is able to help us when we come to him because he's already overcome. And because he's overcome, then he can help you overcome. See, you got to know when you're going to somebody whether or not they can really help you. And we can go to Jesus because we know he's over. Don't go to somebody who's got the same weakness you got. Don't go to somebody to try to help you to do something that they can't do for themselves. Don't go to somebody who that you think is going to input into you and help you get through a circumstance and a situation that they've never been through and they've never gone through and they've never overcome. They can't help you. That's good preaching, whether you believe that or not. They can't help you. They can't help you. Therefore, we can come to Jesus knowing he can help us. He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to you? If your son asks you for a stone, you're going to give him, for bread, you're going to give him a stone? If he asks for fish, are you going to give him a serpent? No. How much more will your Heavenly Father give to those who ask him? It pleases him to do that. He wants to do that. And so I want to tell you a story this morning about a man who had holy confidence and how he got this holy confidence. And his name was David. I love the story of David. I did a series years ago on this, the life of David, and it was one of the most interesting studies I ever did in my life. I love David. The Bible says that Jesus came from the seed of David. He came, Romans chapter 1. You see, how did he be all God and yet all man too? How did Mary, when she conceived by the Holy Spirit, she conceived, you got to follow me here because I'm going to shock some of you because I can't believe he just said that. But if you will look it up in the Greek in Romans chapter 1, you will find out this is literally what transpired. When Jesus was of the seed of David, God miraculously took the sperm of David and put it in Mary, and she conceived Jesus. She conceived Jesus. He couldn't be all man and all God. If this birth was just supernaturally done from the sense of there was no actual sperm that we all are born by happen, I know I'm a little heavy this morning, but I'm telling you the truth. You just have to believe that and read that and understand that. That's how he became all God and all man. It was still miraculous. It was still an immaculate birth. But it had to have its origin in how people are really born for him to be who he was. And so that happens. And what I'm saying all this is for David something else. David must have lived such a life of confidence that God would take that and use it for the miraculous birth. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 14 through 15, that David was the youngest son. David's three oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army, but David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. When you read all of those sons' names, these three sons, they're mighty men. They're army men. They're Navy SEALs. They are decorated. David's a shepherd boy. He's not an army man. He's not in the Marines. He's not part of Saul's army. He's just a shepherd boy. As a matter of fact, his job was to go back and forth and be an errand boy. And his job was to take care of the sheep in Bethlehem. But one day David comes to see what's going on, and He heard something in 1 Samuel 17, verses 20 through 27. And here's the first point you got to get. The reward of the battle will give us holy confidence. How many? Why? Some people fight battles and they're going to get nothing out of it when it's all over. Make sure that when you go into a battle, that it is worth going into and you're going to benefit from it. And so the Bible says, David left the sheep with another shepherd. It says a lot right there. Set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left these things with a keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking to them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard his shout, his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelites' army saw him, they began to run away in fright. "Have you seen the giant?" the men asked. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for his wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes." That's a pretty good incentive. If you ain't got a woman, you get a woman. And you ain't got to pay taxes for a year. Now, David's been out tending sheep. And I imagine that was pretty tempting to David. I get a beautiful wife. That sounds pretty. So David asked a soldier standing nearby, "What will a man?" He heard what he said. He says, "Did I hear that right? What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending in his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" And these men gave David the same reply. They said, "Yes, that's the reward for killing him." God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. How many know God doesn't mind giving out rewards? He's a rewarder. "Oh, I don't do it for rewards." What are you doing it for? I never heard anybody say, "Oh, I just work because I want to work. I don't work for money." You get that paycheck every week, every 2 weeks, once a month. Whenever you get it, the reason you are working for it is to get it, right? Yeah. But hey, Christians say, "I'm not in it for any rewards. I'm just in it to please the Lord. God, don't build me a mansion. Just build me a little cabin in the corner of glory land. Yeah, just something. I'm not in it for anything special." I would say something, but I won't say it right now. That's just a bunch of, you know, you do care. And if you don't care, you should care. I'm glad I serve a God who will reward me. I'm glad that my obedience to him doesn't go unseen. You know, when I go into the hospital and I pray for people, I can't pray for everybody like this, but most of the people I can pray for like this. And I start off the prayer something like this: "God, this is your servant. They have served you for years in the kingdom of God. I thank you for the service they've been to the kingdom of God and to you. This is your servant, and I ask you to touch your servant." I remind him who they are, what they've done for him. Every now and then, I call in some chips from God. I don't do it often, but when I do, I'm serious about it. I call in, I say, "Well, hey, this is not just anybody down here talking to you, Lord. I've served you a long time. I've done a lot of stuff for you, a lot of good things for you. I just remind God what I've done." "Oh, you shouldn't do that." "Well, I do. And you know what? It has paid off many a time." Now, I don't go around, it's not with arrogance and boasting. It's just with confidence. I've done what I've done. I've been who I've been. I've helped who I helped. I don't believe you go through life doing that and not, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give to your bosoms. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." I'm all right to say that. There's a reward for doing this stuff. It's a huge, 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 huge reward. Got it? David, I'm going to get a wife, and I won't pay taxes for a year. Something happened. Some holy confidence, I believe, started rising up. Second thing, your past experience will give you holy confidence. In 1 Samuel 17:28, when David's older brother Eliab heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway, he demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. No, they knew about their pride and deceit. Anyway, we won't go there because I don't want to get you hurt. I want to be positive this morning. When you start seeing a bunch of, anyway. No, when you start seeing a whole bunch of stuff in other people, you probably seeing you. Anyway, we won't talk about that right now. What about those few sheep you're supposed to? I know your pride. You just want to see the battle. What battle? There's no battle going on. There's this guy out there taunting Israel. Ain't no battle. What have I done now, David replied. I was only asking the question. He walked over to some others and asked the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to the king Saul, and king sent for him. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. Wow. David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. You know, I used to read this as a little boy, and we kind of just read through this stuff and don't pause for a minute. We're talking about a lion, a bear. We're talking serious. This is serious. And so David, he says, I just go after the bear and the lion, if it turns me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. Oh, a little Raphism here. Ready for a little Raphism? The Lord who delivered me from? Wasn't no club in the Lord's hand. It's in David's hand. It was David. He was just doing with the Lord, but he had to go do it. But see, we want to sit back and wait for God to win the battle for us instead of go win the battle. David said, I'm going after that lion. I'm going after that bear. I'm going to take care of it. See, the battle against Goliath wasn't won in the Valley of Elah. It was won in the shepherd's fields. This battle against Goliath wasn't won in the Valley of Elah. It was won in the shepherd fields. It was won in preparation for the battle that was coming. You see, last Saturday, Georgia didn't beat North Carolina in the dome. They beat them in the practice field in Athens, Georgia. They didn't beat Nichols State yesterday by 2 points in Athens. They beat them by 2 points in Athens for the lack of preparation that they did in Athens that week. And that's just all I got to say about that. So there's preparation to really win a battle, and then there's lack of preparation to, like, barely win a battle. Or didn't show up like you should have shown up because you wasn't being prepared like you should have been being prepared. And that's all I got to say about that. Anyway, most, if not all, victories are won in the now for the future. I heard a ref say, you get pulled, if you have a wreck in your car and the officer comes up and says, let me see your insurance card, and you don't have insurance. Oh, well, I'm going to go get some insurance. How many know? Too late. I got to have the insurance now for that wreck. Well, you got something more than insurance. You got assurance. And assurance assures you of whatever's in the future. You can be prepared for it if you'll deal with it today. If you'll deal with it today. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life or victory. What you're doing today is not for today, it's for tomorrow. It's for next month, it's for next year. It's for what's coming my way. And my past experiences will always prepare me. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness in preparation. Isn't it strange that Jesus went and got disciples who were fishermen to make them fishermen? Did you get that? He went and got fishermen to make them fishermen. Yeah, y'all getting that? I want to make sure. He got fishermen to make them fishermen. He didn't change their he didn't change what they did. David didn't stop being a shepherd. He went from a shepherd of the sheep by the mountainside to the shepherd of the sheep of Israel. Jesus, for 30 years, was in preparation to become Christ in the earth. And he spent 30 years working as a masterpiece carpenter so that he can make a masterpiece out of you. Oh, that was good. Somebody should have said, that's good. He spent 30 years being a master carpenter so he can make a masterpiece out of you. That's good stuff. Somebody ought to say something. And finally, your disadvantage often prove to be disguised as your advantage. Alfred Adler is a pioneer and psychologist, coined a term called counterintuitive compensation. Counterintuitive compensation, that people with disadvantages took those disadvantages and made them advantages for themselves. They did a study of a whole bunch of businessmen who owned their own business. 35% of them was dyslexic. 35%. David was greatly disadvantaged. But let me just, here's some principles I kind of wrote down. Maybe you'll like them, maybe you won't. A little Bearism, but Bearism sometimes hits it. Don't fight a giant like a giant. He didn't go fight a giant like a giant. And sometimes giants need to be fought from 20 feet away. Don't go and fight them on their territory. He didn't go fight the giant like a giant. He didn't come with sword and a spear. He came with what he knew he could use, a slingshot. He was good with that thing. And you know what? I love this, Billy, because I know this is one of your favorite parts of the Old Testament, was when David finally got to where he got his army together. Remember what he got? Those indebted, those distressed, and those discouraged. That was David's first army. He got people with disadvantages to become advantaged and became one of the greatest army. They were something else. But they were called the mighty men of David. But they were disadvantaged. I believe David did that because he saw in his life he was disadvantaged. And so he took his disadvantagement and advanced in it. Isn't that good stuff? I had ADD when I was young. I try to say today I don't have it, but I don't know. I try to confess it, and I try to I try, but I Anyway, most of you know I got it. So I didn't know when I was in school how I took my disadvantage of ADD to became my advantage. I didn't know my ADD would make me who I am today. But I believe it has, and I'll tell you why. Because I couldn't stick to something long enough and study, but I could memorize things real quick. And so I would memorize something, and I'd go to the class with a memory. Memorized one time the what caused the Great Depression. There was a thing in our history book, a paragraph this long, and so I just memorized it. And so when I got in the class and we took the test, teacher got up and said, "Buren, would you stand up?" She said, "You gave the best explanation of the Great Depression I've ever heard in my life." And I started to say, "It's in the book. It's in your history book you gave me, that little paragraph. Read it, teacher. It's there. The Great Depression." When, as in English, they say you can do a written book report or you can do an oral book report. Doing a written book report would have taken me months and years. But I would say, and I was so shy, but I'd say, "I'll do an oral book report," because I'd read the book and get up and remember everything I read and just give them an oral book report that I could never have written down. My ADD would have kicked in too many times. But it works. I can't hardly sit down and read one book, Keith. I got three or four books on my desk. And I'll read this book, and I'll lay it down, and I'll start reading another book. I'll be working on this message, and I'll lay it down, and I'll start working on another message. I mean, but you know, I think it's worked out pretty good for me. I think what could have been a disadvantage has become an advantage. And what you may think is your disadvantage can become your advantage. Look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. But when I'm weak, then I'm strong." Boy, that's holy confidence. What you may perceive as my weakness can be my greatest strength. What you may perceive as something that's a disadvantage could be my greatest advantage. And that's what David found. That he took what appeared to be a young, called him a ruddy boy. "You can't do this, David. You can't beat this giant. You're too small. You're too small to beat this giant. He's too big for you to hit." And David said, "He's too big for me to miss." And so David goes out against him, and he hurls that stone. Goliath really had on a helmet of bronze. He already was judged, bronze judgment. So he walks out already judged. And the only place he could hit him was right in the forehead. And he popped him, dropped him down. Went out, cut his head off. But that's not the end of the story. When you turn the page, Keith, and the next page says, David went out and he got Goliath's armor and he put it in his tent. Why would you do that? Because in the future, every time I got another battle coming my way, I'm going to peep in my tent and go, "I remember that battle. I remember they said I couldn't do it. They said I never could overcome this." And he says, "Now, there's my testimony. There's my testimony." That one battle catapulted him into all the things he ever accomplished was one victory. Being prepared for that one battle got him to where he was king of Israel. until a man that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart, because he got prepared in the shepherd fields. And because he loved those little sheep so much, hear this, this is the maybe the best part of it. I don't know if I love that sheep that much. I'd have probably said to the bear, you can have that one. I got some more. Come on. Talk to me. Oh, you can have that one, Mr. Lion. I got some more. As a matter of fact, I'll just go get them to make some more. Because he loved them sheep so much. It was his love that propelled him. And he says a good shepherd will leave the 90, 100, the sheep, and go after the one that's lost. It's your love that matters. It's your love which is where your strength is. It's your love is where your power is. Because he had the love for his sheep, just think how much he loved the people. Just think how much he loved the people. My daddy was a big dog lover. Loved dogs. He had a dog that was demon-possessed. He still loved it. It was demon. Got it from Kitty. Has nothing to do with Kitty. The dog, though, I told Kitty after we got it, you remember the dog? The dog was demon-possessed, wasn't he? He was demon-possessed. Mean, but Daddy loved that dog. Daddy told me one time, he said, anybody who don't love a dog, don't trust them. I don't know if that's all true, but anyway, what he's saying is, kind of go by how people treat other things and you'll kind of get an idea how they'll treat you. Let's stand up. You're here this morning and you've told yourself or other people have told you you're a nobody. One of my best stories in Griffin, my daddy told me, I thought Mr. Nobody's, the tire place, I always thought Mr. Nobody's was a franchise. Until my daddy told me where Mr. Nobody got his name, he worked for another tire company 50 years ago. And he decided to go in business for himself. And his boss said, you're a nobody. So he named his business Mr. Nobody. He's been in business for over 50 years, selling tires and changing oil. Maybe somebody's called you a nobody. Maybe you've told yourself that or whatever. Maybe you've got a disadvantage like I've got a disadvantage. But you can take that disadvantage and make it an advantage. Beethoven did. One of some of the greatest composers we've ever had had weaknesses, tremendous physical handicaps. What's her name, the blind girl? Helen Keller. Wow. What about... So, see, there are no excuses. No excuses. And so if you're here, I want you to make a bold step and say, you know, I'm going to take what was a disadvantage for right then and make it an advantage. Maybe it could be in a failure in the past. Make that turn around and be something awesome for you right now. Would you just come and stand across this front and say, I am coming today to get my holy confidence back. I'm coming today to know that I am holy confident. I'm coming today to know I am victorious and I am an overcomer. Would you just do that while he's playing softly? Come on down. Maybe the best decision you ever made in your life. I'm not going to let it be a disadvantage. It's going to be my advantage. Today's the second Sunday in the month. It's our time of the sacrament of healing. And you're here and you need a touch in your body. You can come with confidence knowing that he's pleased to help you and to do for you what you need. So just come down and join these. It has nothing to do with holy confidence. You just need a touch in your body or mind or soul or whatever. Let us pray for you. I'm going to ask. Alex, would you come down? Let me pray for you before you go off to Japan for a year. You and your mom, come down. I think it's pretty cool. You got some confidence. You got some holy confidence to go to Japan for a year. Or is it a year? Whew. I couldn't do that. But it's going to be the most amazing thing ever happened in your life. Nothing expands your horizons and like that does. And I'm excited for you, fearful for your mama. And we'll pray for that she's going to be fine and not worry too much, but all be well. I know you got a lot of people praying for you. But what are you going to be studying?
Osaka University.
Yeah, what's your... Computer science? I did that. me and Mike did that when we flew for Pan Am. We went out, did some political science stuff. Yeah, that's what we did. Father, I thank you for Alex. I thank you for the heritage that he has. Thank you, Lord, for what his parents and grandparents have instilled in him over the years. And Lord, I just thank you for being with him every step of the way. And this being just one of the greatest experiences of his life. Thank you that he is preparing for his future. And that what he's storing up for him now will be a good foundation for the times and the years to come. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, buddy. God bless you, mommy. He's going to be good.
Down. Oh, there it is. You can sit down. If you have your connection card, if you're a member, we want you to fill one of these out each and every week. Helps us keep track of you a little bit better. If you're a visitor very, very first time, thank you for being here. We appreciate that. We'd love for you to fill one of these out also and just drop it in the offering bucket. We will follow up with an email or a text, whichever you happen to put on the card, if it's better for you. The opportunity to come to the house of God. To give of your talents, your time, your first fruits. Each and every Sunday we give you the option to give tithes and offerings and alms. To touch people's lives, to make a difference. On your connection card you can sign up for a place that you can get involved. Whether it's the Doc Holliday Festival coming up where you can sell barbecue. Or serve in some capacity in the soup kitchen or the food pantry or One Harvest. Lots of opportunities. Children's ministry, go ahead and begin receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. We so thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God, to Eagles Way, to a family. And it is so nice to be able to look out across a room like this and just see family and the things that are taking place in people's lives and the goodness of God. Don't want to miss the last Intentional Mind meeting is this Wednesday night, the last one for this year or this time. So we will go back to our regular first Wednesdays thereafter, the first Wednesday of each month thereafter. Let's pray and let's bless. Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we can worship you. We can give. We can receive. That, Lord, you can change our lives if we enact the disciplines and the principles you've put inside of us. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
So-